Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday. It is wet. It is chilly. And that's just the way it's going to be for, believe it or not, about a week. Honest to goodness, this weather we've got right now, this is the weather we're going to have for the week moving forward. So just bear that in mind. Whatever impact it might have, it's going to have. We'll get through it. I am absolutely appalled at the comments from that member of the Richmond City Council. It's not that big a deal. We fired the inspector general. And I just don't feel that I need to share it with anybody. Really? Listen, ma'am, I don't know how to break it to you. You're supposed to be representing your constituents. You're part of the city council because folks in your district voted for you and said, please do what's right. When you've got somebody else of the city council, like Reba Trammell, who we know is the real deal, saying, hey, something doesn't smell right here. Sorry, somebody's got to look into this, and hopefully somebody will. And, of course, here's another shock. City of Richmond once again screwing up water processing. I would feel sorry for the mayor, but he's been there a while. So, dude, you don't get the, hey, you're the new guy on the job thing anymore. You got to get your act together. All right, I feel better now. You know what else I feel better about? President Trump's one big, beautiful bill made it through the House of Representatives. It's over there now in the United States Senate. I want to find out exactly what's going on, how it's going on. My friend, my congressman, John McGuire, represents our 5th district here in our beloved Commonwealth. He is joining us. Mr. Congressman, welcome, my friend.
Hey, it's good to be here, Jeff. Thanks for having me. I hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend. Anything go on this weekend?
I did. You know, John, I had what I consider to be one of the highest honors of my life. I was invited to read some of the names that are inscribed there at the Shrine of Memory at the Virginia War Memorial. We did a marathon. Every one of those 12,000 names was read yesterday. So pretty meaningful, my friend. It really was.
That's amazing. Well, I was in Arlington with President Trump, J.D. Vance, Pete Hegseth, and veterans from all backgrounds. But what really struck me was it's a very somber, sacred place and a lot of tears. But there were a handful of World War II veterans. I got a chance to speak with them. Average age 99 to 104 years old.
Wow.
They said there's less than 1,000 World War II veterans still with us. And to hear their stories and to be there on that day, it was just a huge honor. And I'd always wanted to be there for that, but always somewhere else in the district or doing something.
Right.
But to be up there for this part of this history, a very somber, sacred ground. And I'm just so glad that we have a president that, you know, I don't know if you saw President Trump's speech, but he was very reverent, very respectful to our military.
It was such a beautiful contrast. Just last year, as you recall, the then Vice President Kamala Harris sent out a tweet that said, enjoy your long weekend, and that was it. And you think, oh, good Lord, do you not have some concept of what this is all about?
I know, it's nuts. I mean, we wouldn't have a country without these men and women that gave their all for us. And so, you know, at a minimum, we, you know, I certainly want people to have barbecues and time with their family and friends, but you gotta honor and remember our fallen.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what does that mean to you, especially, John? I mean, here you are, you're serving us as our representative in Congress, but you were a Navy SEAL, for goodness sakes. You served this nation, and you could have just as easily been one of the fallen, and you were ready to make that sacrifice. It must be doubly, triply meaningful for someone like you, a true American hero.
Well, it's a very special day, a very special time, but, you know, we lost a lot of my friends since 9/11. We lost more SEALs since 9/11 than the history of the Navy SEALs, but all branches of service, you know, fought for our freedom. And, yeah, it's just a very, you know, like I said, very sacred, somber thing. And, yeah, you know, to be up there with Pete Hegseth, you know, there were a ton of every branch of military was there. I sat with the Secretary of the Navy and a bunch of those folks. But you can talk to I spoke to the young military guys, and they said morale is way up, recruitment is way up because of this president. and of course, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great thing to see. Recruitment up, morale is up. President Trump has made clear, hey, the military has a vital function, and being involved in some of the crazy stuff we saw for the last couple of years, we're getting out of that business. I just love it.
Yeah, it's a good time. It's a huge honor to be part of this American history that's unfolding.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Congressman John McGuire is joining us. Let me remind you, he represents the 5th District. That's my district. John has been my friend forever. He's been my congressman now, and I'm thrilled that he is. I think he's doing great work up there. Tell us a little bit about this big, beautiful bill from the president. Some rough waters there in the House, but you got it through. Now what happens to it?
Well, you know, one thing I told one person in the press, I said, you know, I've been there probably 120 days or so, so I've got it all figured out. I got no more questions. So I've got a lot to learn. I'm new. But what I understand is it's not normal for the U.S. Senate to work side by side with the House of Representatives on a reconciliation bill. But this is an exception. We worked close at hand with them to make sure that we didn't have something called a fatality. There's something called a bird rule. So with a reconciliation bill, as long as we follow the rules, we only need 51 U.S. senators to pass it. If we put something in there that increases spending, things like that, it can cause us to require 60 votes. And that means we have to find 7 Democrats. And, you know, if you find 7 Democrats, you're going to get a whole lot more stuff you don't like. So right now we have a bill that, you know, I would say no bill is perfect. There's some things I don't like, some things I do like. But we were able to pass it with a small majority. And going over to the U.S. Senate, we only need 51. Now, we have 53 U.S. senators. Now, if we added some things that a lot of people are asking for, it would be a fatality. It would require us to go from 51 votes to 60 votes. So right now, we managed to work with the parliamentarian on the U.S. Senate side, and we only need 51 votes. Now, they're not going to have a lot of surprises. I've seen some things in the news, like, I don't like this and I don't like that. But nothing should be a surprise on the U.S. Senate side. However, there's probably going to be some changes, and it'll come back to the House, and then hopefully we'll come to an agreement, and then President Trump will sign it into law before the 4th of July. That's the plan.
Okay. Well, that to me is spot on. It's another one of these things where you get up there, and you know this certainly from your service at the state level, and I would imagine just even exponentially worse up there, but nobody gets 100%, right? I mean, this is all about working together and trying to get the best deal possible. You just can't let perfection be the enemy of excellence.
That's right, because the alternative would be Trump tax cuts expire, and that would be the largest tax increase on Americans in history. It only passed by one vote, but you know, it's complicated business. But we'll get it over to the U.S. Senate, and there's some folks there. We're just having, you know, Trump's working really hard with them.
Yep.
There'll be some back and forth, but again, the alternative is bad. But this bill has a lot of good stuff. It reduces the deficit by $1.6 trillion, which is a step in the right direction, not enough. It funds Trump's Remain in Mexico policy, which is very popular with Americans, and it lowers the cost of take-home pay for Americans families by up to $13,000. Let's see. If you're a Second Amendment person, which I definitely am, it gets rid of the $200 suppressor fee for suppressors. The tax stamp, I'm sure you heard that. It defunds Planned Parenthood. You know, taxpayer dollars should not go towards abortions and Planned Parenthood, so that's good.
That's right.
And
that's
you think about no tax on tips. All the Democrats said every day, every interview, was tax cuts for the billionaires, tax cuts. So that's all they ever said. But billionaires don't care about tips. Tax on tips is the working class folks that are trying to make ends meet. So no tax on tips is huge. And as a law enforcement guy, you know I'm a big supporter of our law enforcement. We've got no tax on overtime. And I was told the average law enforcement officer around the country puts in 20 hours overtime per week. Now, it's not just, it's also other first responders. But for our law enforcement guys, no tax on overtime, that's a game changer.
Sure is.
And there's just, you know, of course, I think it's a $4,000 tax deduction for Social Security for retired seniors. So if you're retired, living on Social Security, you're going to have a $4,000 tax deduction, which I hear is a pretty big impact. Yeah. And they're going to double the child tax credit. So for the everyday American, not the billionaires, it's making a big difference.
Sure is. Sure is. I'll tell you the other thing that's coming out of this, and this is another one of those, oh, the legacy news media and the leftist, I mean, they operate together. They're beating up the president. They're beating up Republicans in the House because allegedly this big, beautiful bill is taking health care away from the disabled. It's taking things away from the disability community. Now, you know, I mean, that's as near and dear to my heart as it gets. And
that's right.
I have tried so hard to explain to people that is not being done. You know, you and the president need some defense on this, and I'm there to lend my voice, my friend. I'll tell you that.
No, definitely. You know, and I would say that what it's doing is it's right-sizing Medicaid. And what I mean by that is we identified a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse. And by eliminating waste, fraud, and abuse and making sure the people that need it get it,
yep.
You have more money for them.
That's right.
And so there's a lot of folks that we found an incredible number of people that are here illegally in our country getting Medicaid expenses. And that's not fair. That's not fair to the American taxpayer. So we're going to right-size it. And by the way, you know, we're trying to go back to the original intention of Medicaid, you know, and the work requirements for those that are able to work. I think there's dignity in work.
Right.
You probably know I grew up in foster homes,
yeah.
9 different elementary schools. My wife doesn't like it when I say it, but it's debatable. I turned out okay. But I remember, I'm 56 years old, and I remember one of those foster homes gave me a responsibility after dinner every night. I had to sweep the floors.
Okay.
I probably wasn't great at it, but my foster father said, "You're the best floor sweeper I've ever seen," and it just made me feel important.
Yeah.
There is dignity in work,
sure.
And I think the goal of these safety net programs is to get you back on your feet so you can be a productive member of society. So we're right-sizing it, make sure the people that need it get it,
that's right.
And we're getting rid of the waste, fraud, and abuse so we can help the right people and help more people.
Absolutely. That's exactly what needs to be done. Hey, I'm just about out of time, but I want to give you the opportunity, if you don't mind. Number one, let me remind everybody, Congressman John McGuire is here, represents the 5th District in our beloved Commonwealth. But for folks who may need to reach out to you or some of your staff, just give everybody the website, make it nice and easy for them.
Sure. We're helping people with IRS problems, Social Security problems, Veterans Administration problems, helping you navigate government. Check out our website, mcguire.house.gov, and you can get our phone number, email, mail-in address, all that stuff, mcguire.house.gov. We'd love to help you out.
I love it. I always appreciate you making time for us, my friend. That is Congressman John McGuire, one of the good guys. There's a lot of heavy lifting up there. There's a lot of difficult stuff to do. And not surprisingly, my friend John McGuire has once again stepped right up to the plate to help out. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. Yep. Thought I forgot, didn't you? Nope. It is Tuesday. I had such an amazing experience yesterday at the Virginia War Memorial. They had invited a handful of people to read the names of these 12,000 fallen heroes. Slot number one was Governor Glenn Youngkin. Slot number 11, believe it or not, was me, Jeff Katz. It was one of the biggest honors of my lifetime to have been invited to do that. And it was interesting because right before me was my buddy Jeb Hochman. And the first 9 people were super duper military types, you know, like admirals and generals. And it was no nonsense, man. It was straight ahead. I'm reading the names. We're reading them quickly and efficiently. Boom, boom, boom. They came to me and they came to Jeb and they said, "Hey, listen, we are really ahead of schedule here because the guys in front of you were just so doggone effective and professional, you know, admirals and generals." So they came to the 2 radio guys to make it slower. And we did. Between Jeb and myself, we did slow down the pace and we got him back on schedule. I don't know what happened after that. I mean, slot number 12 was actually a pilot from out in the eastern part of the state. She was an amazing woman. My God. A naval aviator and then a commercial pilot. I got a feeling she may have got everybody ahead of schedule again. But I'm telling you, Jeb and I did our best to just slow it down. We are in prime scam season right about now. My friend Mike Romano, who is with the United States Postal Inspection Service, he's going to join us, give us a little insight into what's going on. That'll happen at 3:35. It's 3:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. It is rainy. It is chilly. And I don't know how to break it to you. This is kind of the way it's going to be for the next week. I kid you not. Wow. It's, well, it is what it is. And we will certainly get through that tomorrow afternoon. Francis Rooney is going to be here. He's been with us before. He was the former presidential ambassador to the Vatican. And a lot of people trying to figure out, is there going to be something new or different in the relationship between Washington and Vatican City? So Ambassador Rooney will join us with a little insight. This Friday, if you're looking at your calendar, is the final Friday of the month. You know what happens on the final Friday of the month? We bestow our Lieutenant Jan McTernan Blue Friday honor on a very deserving Central Virginia law enforcement officer. We have had police officers, deputy sheriffs, state police officers, state troopers, federal agents of all types. And this Friday, well, you make sure you tune in because we have truly one of the best of the best. Joining us this afternoon is another member of the best of the best. Mike Romano is the team lead over the United States Postal Inspection Service. These are some of the finest investigators out there. I mean, they do incredible work, and the scams that we all see. Man, at some point, the Postal Inspection Service has got their hands on them and really doing the best job to make sure that we stay safe. I'm always happy to welcome him here. Mike, thank you for being here, my friend.
Jeff, it's great to be here. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Every time we chat, there's a part of me that feels really depressed that there's all this victimization going on. And then there's a part that feels really, really hopeful because you and the great team of the Postal Inspection Service are kind of, you know, doing the hard work and the heavy lifting. So where are we today?
So the first thing I really want to tell your listeners about is Project Safe Delivery. And since you're hopeful, I'm glad you are. Project Safe Delivery was started in 2023, and it was really targeted at protecting our employees against violent crimes and robberies, which were occurring pretty heavily, and protecting the mail and protecting the customers. And so happy to announce that since same period last year, our robberies are down 34%. Our violent crime against our mail carriers is down that significant amount, and we have made, since 2023, the postal inspectors have made over 2,400 arrests in mail theft and letter carrier robberies, and that's a huge amount. We attribute that to not just the education piece here, but really enforcement efforts here in the Richmond area, the Hampton Roads area, and our area's responsibility that I cover. We have been out working late at night. We have been doing stakeouts. We have been doing surveillance. We've been using all sort of technology to figure out who these individuals are and federally arrest them and bring them to justice for their crimes that they've committed.
Some of these criminals, I think, forget that what they're doing, in fact, is a federal offense. Are some of them a little shocked when they realize just which game they're playing, which jurisdiction they're in?
I think I've seen it on their face a time or two, and when they realize that, you know, if you rob a postal carrier, you go into a post office and rob the clerk at the counter line, you're looking at 25 years in the federal penitentiary. And in these situations, they're not just doing the violent crime, they're also involved in the financial fraud. So the mail theft piece carries additional time separate from the violent crime, an additional 5 years
for each offense. And then if they actually push the checks, and which causes identity theft, they're looking at 2 years of aggravated identity theft charge, which is not negotiable. That is a mandatory 2 years for each count charged. So I can specifically say in our area, we have gone after these individuals. We have sent the message, and our robbery solution rate through in the Richmond and the Hampton Roads area is well above 80%. I know that's a lofty number that a lot of agencies around the country would love to see. But again, we've just partnered up with our local, state, and federal law enforcement folks and gone after these individuals.
Wow, it is so impressive. And a lot of people are not familiar, as you know, with the Postal Inspection Service. I have heard from so many of my friends at FBI and DEA, especially about the talent that your squad has and how so often it is that Postal Inspection Service. You guys are kind of the tip of the spear on a lot of these things.
We've been around. We're actually going to celebrate our 250th anniversary this year, this August. The Postal Service is that old. The Inspection Service is that old, going back to the days of Benjamin Franklin appointing a surveyor to safeguard and oversee the mails. And, you know, eventually it goes to horseback, to rail, and beyond, and our mission really hasn't changed one bit. We safeguard and protect the postal service, the employees, and the U.S. mail on a daily basis.
Just great stuff. Mike Romano is joining us, the team lead for the United States Postal Inspection Service, covering our area out to Hampton Roads. I mean, you got a bit pretty big footprint.
We have a large footprint. We handle all of the, my office handles pretty much all of the Southern Virginia area, all of Central Virginia, the Hampton Roads area, and I even have three postal inspectors and some task force officers out in the Roanoke area. So we've got a huge footprint of the state. The good part about that is the communication piece. So we're all in direct contact with each other, and typically what's happening in one jurisdiction is happening in another, which is true of all law enforcement.
Yeah. What about the scam part of this? I mean, every time that that you and I chat, invariably we feel compelled to warn people. Folks are still out there. The Nigerian prince scam. There's some twists on it, but it's still there. The love affair things, where people are they're essentially working at these criminal factories. I mean, it's never going to go away, is it?
It's not. Now, I'm glad you brought this up, because that is just another component of Project Safe Delivery, is to protect the customers from the scams. And yeah, the scams are out there, and a lot of folks will hear some of these scams and be like, I can't believe somebody would fall for that. But I can tell you on a daily basis they do. And unfortunately, it's our elderly population. So anyone listening who has elderly parents or elderly loved ones should really be on the lookout for these type of scams. And, you know, you don't want to invade anyone's privacy, but look at the mailings that are coming in. Look at the emails that are coming in, some of the phishing scams that happen on the email. It's very easy to click a link that you shouldn't. Something may look like it's from a legitimate big bank that many people bank with. You click a link and it asks you to input your information, and lo and behold, you provide that information, hit submit, and some scammer in another country now has your information and can open up a credit card or a bank account or something like that in your name. So, you know, don't click those links. Banks don't lose your information. Banks have your information backed up multiple times. They're not going to ask for your information. So we tell people to not click those links. And if they have any questions, actually contact your bank, contact your local bank, and see if that scam is actually legitimate. The Postal Service is not immune to scams. I know a lot of people have gotten some text messages regarding EasyPass. I've gotten them too, the toll violation. Well, the Postal Service gets that delivery failure notification. A lot of people have seen that number come up from an unknown text number. And again, the messaging stays the same. The Postal Service is not going to send you any information about delivery notifications unless you, in fact, signed up for tracking on that individual mail piece. So again, don't click these links. You know, we're not just going to send unsolicited text messages, and folks who get those messages, if they want to report them, they can forward them to spam@uspis.gov, and our cyber folks will take a look at it and try to shut some of those people down.
Oh, that is great. Mike, I actually, a couple of weeks ago, I got one of those text messages, and I thought, well, I get my update from the Postal Service each and every morning. This is what's coming in your mailbox, blah, 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 blah. I look at that around 7:30, 8 o'clock, and there's always something. My lovely bride has a tendency to order a lot of stuff, and I thought, well, okay. And I'm telling you, Mike, with all of the times you and I have chatted, with all of my... I'd like to think knowledge about this. Man, I was a split second away from clicking it when there was just something that said, what do you, don't, no, no. And so I didn't do it. But I'm glad to hear that there is a way to report that stuff to the postal inspectors.
Yeah, and with, you know, with that, we've got the regular fraud scams that you alluded to earlier. Again, you know, don't provide your personal information. Make sure you're dealing with a legitimate company. And again, we talk to our elder of the population. If you're just not sure, ask a friend, ask a relative, or contact the correct number to that bank or financial institution. Do not follow the links. Do not call the phone numbers that's provided on the email, because it's likely a phish.
Absolutely. Another victory lap for Project Safe Delivery. You and the team obviously going out there doing great, great work, making our area, well, heck, the entire state, it seems, safer as a result of that. I always encourage people, Mike, I know you were a part of this, and you're not going to brag about it, but I'm going to brag on you. There at the Postal Museum, right across from Union Station, there is that wonderful exhibit dealing with the postal inspectors, and it is absolutely fascinating. And if you're going up to DC for any reason, you're coming out of the train station, walk across the street, take a peek at it. It's an eye opener.
It's well done. The inspection service exhibit gets updated regularly. But if you're just into aviation, we have a whole aviation piece of how the mail was flown, stories of Amelia Earhart. But the inspection service piece is constantly updated. There's a whole interactive series on how to solve a postal-related crime. There's the back end of one of our mobile command centers in there with flashing lights. And it really is, it's a great Smithsonian museum that's not really right on the mall. It's a little further away. Like you said, it's over to Union Station. Yeah. But it is well worth the visit. If you've already done all the other D.C. museums, you should definitely check it out.
You definitely should. Mike, I always appreciate you being here, and I want you to give the best to your team. We have admiration for them. We have appreciation for them. I don't think you guys get nearly the credit or the accolades that you deserve. So please let them know we do appreciate everything they're doing.
Very good. I want to give the website a plug. The Project Safe Delivery and all the tips and all the information is at USPIS, as in U.S. Postal Inspection Service, .gov. You can go by and check out all the tips and information we have on how to avoid being victim of a scam.
I love it. Thank you, Mike. That is Mike Romano. Good, good guy. United States Postal Inspection Service. They're doing great work. And as I said, I don't think they get nearly the credit that they deserve. So I'm happy to have them here, talk a little bit about the success of Project Safe Delivery, making this safer for you and for me. Quick reminder, James River Air text line always available to you, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, 347, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, a rainy, dreary, chilly Tuesday, and you and I have got lots of water if it's falling from the sky, but yet again, the city of Richmond has found a way to screw stuff up. Congratulations! Why on earth are any of the counties still dependent on the city of Richmond? And I heard the, I'm not calling him the new mayor, because he's been there long enough to get some stuff fixed. And I don't think he's done anything, has he? Maybe he has, and I just don't know. But I'm telling you that it is another debacle for the city of Richmond and the water situation. And I'm a proud Hanoverian. I say to my county, we got to get our own stuff together. We cannot be dependent on the city. It is not reliable. I did get a note here just a moment ago, a text from my friend Reva Trammell to let you know. The Richmond City Council meeting this evening, it's been canceled. I don't know why. but it has been canceled. Another harebrained scheme going through the city right now. Let's charge everybody in the city a nickel for each plastic bag. Why? What is that going to pay for? How many more cousins need jobs? I'm sorry, it's enough already. Joanne in Hanover. Hello, Jeff. Rich keeps comparing your show to his. He says yours is different. Seems like he's saying his is better. Well, that's not true. Clearly mine is better, but it is different. The morning show is Richmond's Morning News, and this show is the Jeff Katz Show. There's a world of difference. They're both important as far as I'm concerned. And yes, of course, the Jeff Katz Show is better than, well, any other show that's on this radio station. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.